أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي كان موجودا قبل حدوث الأشياء ويبقى بعد فناء الأشياء تفرد بالأولية والقدم ووسم كل شيء ما عداه بالفناء والعدم كما قال عز شأنه كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه وكل نفس ذائقة الموت وقال كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام سبحان من لا يخفى عليه اختلاف النيات ولا يعزب عنه معاصي العباد في الخلوات نشهد أن لا إله إلا هو الملك الذي لا ينازع في ملكه ولا يضاد في حكمه يعذب من يشاء بما يشاء كيف يشاء ويرحم من يشاء بما يشاء كيف يشاء ونشهد أن محمدًا سيد المرسلين وخير المبشرين والمنذرين صلى الله عليه وآله الهداة المهديين من ركب سفينتهم نجا واهتدى ومن تخلف عنها ضل فغرق وهوى أوصيكم عباد الله بالاعتصام بالتقوى فإنه حبل متين وعروة وثقى Brothers and sisters, I advise you all and myself toward taqwa and piety and fear of Allah, and I seek repentance for myself and all of you and forgiveness from Allah for all our shortcomings and wrongdoings, for all disobedience, all acts of disobedience and impiety in our lives, and negligence and ignorance, and our lack of attention to a lot of things, and our attention to things that should not be followed. May Allah, bihaqqi Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, forgive us for all the wrongs we have done in our lives, and make this beautiful and blessed day a day of forgiveness for all of us. In the literature of hadith from the Holy Prophet and his family, salawatullah alayhim ajma'in, we find this theme that the prophets came to invite people to akhirat, not to dunya. The mission of prophets, the duty of prophets was not to invite people how to better their lives in this dunya. For example, how to develop roads, how to make better institutions, how to reform this social system and this and that. The divine leaders, spiritual leaders, were not after social reforms for the improvement of material lives of people. That was not the primary goal of the prophets. Although this seems to be our primary goal, this seems to be a goal of the people. Unfortunately, speaking about myself, and everyone should look at oneself. But the goal of prophets was to invite people to something that they did not care about, for something that they were so neglectful and negligent about. And that was the matter of the hereafter. The next life was something totally ignored. The affairs of the next life, the needs of the next life, the goals of the next life, the demands of the akhirat, that was something that people generally were distracted from, did not attend to that. And that's why the primary mission of prophets to condemn this dunya, to show all the evil of this dunya, and to call this dunya the root and the head of all evil. The love of this life, the worldly desires, the love of this life as the foundation of every evil and every bad thing in human life was the love of this life. Love of this life, and which then leads to wanting more of this dunya, which leads to making better plans to have more of this dunya, and to do all the things necessary to get more of this dunya. And that is not just wealth, that is fame, that is glory of this dunya, that is superiority in this dunya, that is accomplishments of this dunya, that is all that people care about as glory and success of this dunya, that all those things get in the way of human success in the next life. And in this regard, there are just a few lines from a sermon of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and Sermon 159, which is one of those places Imam remembers our Prophet. And he says that the uswa and the sirat and the example, the model, the role model of our Prophet, right, is enough for all the people. Why is it enough? وَلَقَدْ كَانَ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ كَافٍ صَلَوَاتٍ سلام كَافٍ لَكَ فِي الْأُسْوَةِ is sufficient. The Holy Prophet is sufficient for us as a role model. فِي الْأُسْوَةِ وَدَلِيلٌ لَكَ عَلَى ذَمِّ الدُّنْيَا وَعَيْبِهَا. And it is a dalil. Dalil means an argument, a guide. A guide for you towards what? Towards what? To dhamm ad-dunya wa aybiha. Dhamm means to denounce something, denunciation of something. The uswa of Holy Prophet is the best because it is a rahnuma, it is a guide for all of us to denounce the dunya and to look at the defects of this dunya and the dangers of the life of this dunya. وَكَثْرَةُ مَخَازِيهَا وَمَسَاوِيهَا. And its defects and the multitude and plenty of its disgraces and its evils. We often run into problems in our lives and we're looking for some shortcuts or immediate reasons why these problems happened. But we don't look at the fundamental problem, the fundamental and the root of all problems in our lives, individual problems, family problems, social issues, political problems, is that people are so fond of this dunya that it gets in the way of every good thing they want to do, if they want to do it. It blinds them to see the good in other people, for example. Right? Discredit other people and glorify oneself all the time and glorify people who achieve success in this dunya and to ignore people, right, who achieve a different kind of glory. How was the Holy Prophet? I'll read the translation. In what sense the Holy Prophet is a guide. How the Holy Prophet treated his treatment of this dunya, Imam is describing, because its sides, the sides of this dunya, had been constrained and controlled for him. The Prophet saw that Allah does not like this, dunya for a believer. So he disliked it for himself. And he saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes and loves akhirat, success of akhirat for a believer. So the Prophet fell in love with akhirat because its sides had been constrained, because its sides and its wings had been spread for others. And he let go of material successes, advantages, pleasures for others to have, for others to get. He was deprived of its milk and turned away from its adornments. And then Imam Ali alayhi salam gives examples of prophets one by one. He says, if you want, I will, as an example, relate to you concerning Musa, who was the Kalimullah. Kalim means person who used to communicate with Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to communicate. They used to have munajat. Musa alayhi salam was invited, called by Allah to speak to him. And he used to hear and a voice, and he used to reply and then hear a voice, like, you know. So when he said, "O Allah, I need whatever good you may grant me," the Quran says, "Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir." O Allah, give me, because I am indigent, faqir, I am in need. And Imam Ali alayhi salam says, what was he asking for? Was he asking for beautiful cars and mansions and everything else? Or in those times, was he asking for example, beautiful houses or wives or whatever? Imam alayhi salam says, by Allah, he asked Allah only for bread to eat. That's it. Because he was used to eating the herbs, grass and vegetables of the earth. For all this journey, he had been eating whatever grew out of the ground. He couldn't even find bread. So he asked Allah, "Oh Allah, I am in need." All he wanted, and was what he considered sufficient for him, he wanted a piece of bread, that's all. And the greenness of the herbs could be seen from the delicate skin of his stomach due to his thinness and lack of his flesh. That he had survived on such a, you know, small diet or whatever you call it, just vegetables, that you could see the greenness from his stomach. Then Imam alayhi salam says, if you desire, I can give you a third example of Dawood alayhi salam. He is the holder of the Psalms and the reciter among the people of paradise. He used to prepare baskets of date palm leaves with his own hands and would say to his companions, which of you will help me by purchasing it? He used to eat barley bread bought from its price. He used to make the basket out of the leaves and sell it, and that money was he used to use for just buying a piece of bread to eat and survive. This is then Imam gives the example of Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And of course in history and other places you'll find examples of Prophet Sulaiman, and that all the glory and whatever he was, right, was not for Sulaiman alayhi salam. His life was just like all the rest of the prophets. He didn't take from it for himself anything. Then when he left this world, he owned nothing. And reminds us of, you know, our leaders like Imam Khomeini and others who lived in a rented house till the end of their life, in this one-bedroom house. And all ulama, all major maraja are like that. May Allah give them great places in akhirat, inshallah. May Allah include us among those who follow these teachings. Because the hadith say that the love of this life has caused all the problems in our lives. And if we focus on this one thing all the time, that's why visiting a graveyard is so important. And I think brothers organize in the community, and we should go there. You know, every once in a while visit the graveyard. Even if there's no one, no dear one from your family buried over there. And if there is one, go and pray. But having a visit to the graveyard is of very high importance. Just as looking at history is so important. It reminds us of all these people who came and went and got so much and took nothing from with them. And then draw some inspiration from those who didn't even want this dunya, how great they were. And dunya came to the Prophet, he refused to accept it. He became the leader. And everything that he could, you can imagine, he could get it. And he did not ask for it and did not even accept it when it was offered to him. Just as Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, dunya was offered to him again and again and again, when he never accepted it, refused it. He said, I divorce you 3 times. He said, I divorce you, O dunya. A divorce in which there is no coming back. May Allah make us among the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوب وهو الغفور الرحيم. سبحان من سبقت رحمته غضبه وبسط اليدين بالرحمة. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبيا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله اللهم صل وعلى إمام المسلمين وقائد الغر المحجلين أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين وبذعة صلى الله على محمد وبذعة خاتم المرسلين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء وعلي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا صاحب الزمان ماحي آثار البدع والطغيان هادم بنية الشرك والنفاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آبائه الكرام. اللهم عجل فرجه وسهل مخرجه. أوصيكم بعد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. May Allah forgive all the deceased mu'mineen and mu'minat from our own ancestors and families, and give elevated ranks to the martyrs of Islam, the shuhada, all over the world, and in Iraq and Pakistan and Syria and other places. May Allah elevate the ranks of the martyrs of Islam, even in this country, who have been victimized in different places, especially in recent times where there have been more attacks on Muslims and masajid, and discrimination at workplace and other places. But at the same time, there have been a lot of successes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the faith and obedience of mu'mineen, has granted them successes in their struggle against injustices in the societies. Recent examples are all over the world, and I'll cite some examples to you. In Pakistan is at the forefront now of the struggles with these Khawarij and Takfiriyin. The danger posed by the Takfiriyin is now at the highest point in Pakistan. They have gathered all their resources, their people, and they have a lot of influential people on their side in the government, all over the country. And the hatred that has been spread by ignorant people against Shia Muslims or others who do not follow their thinking has led to crimes against humanity, led to attacks on innocent people they don't even know, kidnappings, all kinds of things. suicide bombings in recent times have become a norm. Every week, almost every week, there is an attack someplace in Pakistan, or every other week. And because of some recent incidents, the attack in Shikarpur, the masjid, which was heartbreaking. And in that incident, our people who were in that place in the masjid, they fought these attackers. And they minimized the losses, but despite that, because of these criminals, they are being supported, financed and funded, you know, and been given legal support and all of that. So the families of martyrs began to march towards Karachi, and the ulama and the people, they welcomed them in every city. And they arrived in Karachi 3 days ago, Karachi, the main city of Pakistan. And from the start, they announced that this struggle, this campaign, and this protest is against the terrorists. This is to condemn their action, this is to get them arrested and punished, and this is to stop the people who are helping them. There were many demands. And the government of Pakistan, which is very inefficient and corrupt, they tried to negotiate with them, to give them a deal and to go send them back home. But the government of Pakistan has learned by now that Shia Muslims are very, you know, motivated and very, they're everywhere and very united under the leadership of the ulama. And they know their enemies and they know their friends and they know that they cannot give up. And the Shia community is the biggest defenders of Pakistan. Like all other places, Shia Muslims do not believe in violence. They have never supported violence in history and have always stood against violence, against terrorism, right? All united on this stand they've taken in history, always. And they have a history of protest against terrorism, as long as 1,400 years of long history of fighting terrorism. And because of this struggle, after 2 to 3 days, the government finally had to compromise and accept all the demands of the ulama and the people and the martyrs of those incidents. Salawat. It is very encouraging, or whatever the right word is, to see some of the sisters in this protest movement. They came out and spoke to the media. Some of them had lost, some of them lost their husband or their brother or their father. They speak to the TV and the whatever. And they say, we have come out following the seerat of Sayyida Zainab Kubra, salamullah alayha. And we know how to bring down the Yazids. And Bibi Zainab was alone. There was no men to help her. And we have, alhamdulillah, the ulama and all these brave young people, wherever we reach, they are before us to provide for our food and everything and to stay and everything. And you say, we are a community who will never, you know, retreat on our stand, which is the stand of human values. We will not allow any Yazid to dictate to us. And this is good for Pakistan. This is good for every country. If the people would all unite, and in this struggle, the Sunni and Shia all are coming together. They realize their religious extremism comes back to hit everybody. It's a danger for all the people. Religious extremism is not a danger only for Shia people. It's a danger for everyone. The establishment, the government knows it, the army, the police, everyone knows it. Extremism and terrorism, they don't discriminate. Whoever, because intolerance, they target anyone who does not accept their agenda. In the end, they are a bunch of thugs. That's what they are. They don't understand any other language. The language that was suitable for them was the language in which Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam responded to them in Jang al-Nahrawan. Salawat. Salam. We pray for the all the martyrs around the world, in Yemen and Iraq and wherever our mu'mineen are struggling against. The biggest threat of Sufyanis and terrorists ever in history, which has come up today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the zuhur of Imam close and connect all this struggle with the global struggle of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam. Salam. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان
امید قریبان تنها کجایی چراغ سر قبر زهرا کجایی تجلی طه گل عشق مولا دل آشفته داغ آن کوچه غم گرفتار گودال خونیم دل افکار غمهای زینب سیاه پوش قاسم عزادار اکبر گل باغ لیلا پریشان دست علمگیر سقا نفسهای سجا نواهای باغ دعاهای صادق کسه بی کسی های شب های کاظم حبیب رضا و انیس غریب جواد الائمه تمنای هادی عزیز دل عسکری پس نگارا بفرما کجایی کجایی کجایی